Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hello and welcome, Army fans. I'm your host today, James, from Brigade Review down in South Texas. We got Dan in Coastal Connecticut for our first full episode of Ask for Football. We get a review, we get a preview, and plenty of AI slop to go in between. Dan, how are we doing?
Good, man. I am starting to doubt the decision to put this at 5 p.m. on Labor Day weekend, though, because, you know, Rob canceled 10 minutes ago. I see we got all of one person on the stream live with us right now. And I assume everybody's got stuff to do, and I do too. You know, my daughter's new boyfriend is coming over in an hour, which is why we're going a little early today. And that's great. You know,
breaking out the CLP, start working the cleaning those shotguns. It'll be a good time.
She is leaving for Paraguay with the Peace Corps in like 2 weeks. He is Mr. Irrelevant. Like, you know, he could be the best guy in the world, but he's just going to really struggle to make an impression, for better or worse. So Matt Scribner says, well, it's 2200 for him, so there you go. Yeah, great. Dan's got punji stick sharpened. No, listen, I'm not like that. I'm not like that, but we'll see.
All right, well, if you're not moving to Paraguay but you're moving to Fort Bragg instead, we have just the person for you. Dan, would you like to tell us about Jocelyn?
Jocelyn Bradley is a realtor in the Fort Bragg area. She is a member of the Long Gray Line, West Point class of 2010, served as an Army logistics officer where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now, as a dedicated realtor, she brings that same commitment to helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service to help you get a seamless home buying experience tailored to your needs. Even if you're not moving to Fort Bragg, reach out, right? Because Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that spans the country, and she can help you find somebody to help you move wherever you're moving to in the country. And we all know that, like, the realtor game is an easy place to meet some sharks and people who just want to take advantage of you. This is not the deal, right? Use somebody that you can trust that's inside the West Point network. That's what we're offering here, right? As a proud supporter of Astro Football this season, Jocelyn is the realtor you can trust and guide you into your new home. Reach out today and let her make your move effortless. What more can I say?
All right, let's get to the Bryant review. You know, sometimes a good old-fashioned ass-kicking is what you need to right the ship, feel good, and wash some bad taste off your mouth from last season, right? The offense puts up 648 yards of total offense, 569 yards on the ground, averaging double digits, 10 yards per carry, 16 ball carriers. I asked Grock how many – like, when was the last time Army had that many ball carriers? And I told to go sort through box scores, and Grock couldn't find a time when that had happened. So that might be the first time Army's had that many ball carriers.
No, I saw they put out something where they had like 18 against, I don't know, Lafayette or somebody earlier in Jeff Munkin's tenure.
Gotcha.
It's definitely not the first time, but yeah, it's pretty rare.
It's been a while, yeah. 8 rushing touchdowns, punted once on the first series with the backups, and it was a 50-something, 53-yard punt or something like that?
Yeah, beautiful punt.
Great punt. And I think only about a 7-yard return, so good news from the special teams for what little we saw of it. you want to take the defense, Dan?
They allowed just 165 yards of total offense, 9 first downs, none in the first quarter, generated 2 sacks, 6 total tackles for loss. 29 different players made a tackle on Saturday. That's as nuts as anything else. And on special teams, just to kind of close it out, we saw good punt returns from Lloyd Benson III and Josh Mielen. I know I didn't say that right. Kicker Dawson Jones made a 37-yard field goal, but missed a 54-yarder by about 2 feet to the left. And you mentioned the booming punt. I mean, it was almost hard to write about this game on Sunday, James, because there was nothing to say. Like, they just dog walked these dudes.
I want to get this right because I'm pretty sure it's Milholland.
Okay.
But I want to make sure. Punt returns. Yes, Milholland, Josh Milholland. Yeah. We might see more of him later in the year. Army does like to run out a couple of punt returners per game. I'll start with my thoughts on the game. Remember, this is the 12th hardest opponent of the 12 regular season games that Army will have this year, right? So that's not to poo-poo Bryant or anything like that, but it is, you know, let's not pretend like there's going to be a ton to take away from this game.
They ran for 10 yards of carry. Don't harsh my vibe, man.
Yeah. There was lots to like. I just don't know. You know, I would not expect to run for 10 yards of carry for any other game this year, right?
No.
I'll start with the things that concern me, and then we'll end on the things that I like. So early in the game, right, the D line absolutely bailed out some excuse from the linebackers. There were times when linebackers made bad reads or weren't covering where they're supposed to, and the D line bailed them out with a big sack to force a punt or something like that on the first two or three drives. Now, granted, you got four guys on linebacker that have never started a game before. Maybe there was a onesie twosie start in their injury fill-ins or something like that. But effectively, four new linebackers, they're going to make mistakes. And it's better to make mistakes against a team like this where you can, you know, learn and the D-line can help you out. But we'll keep an eye on that going forward as the level of competition increases. And the second thing that kind of concerned me, and we'll pause after this and we can talk about it, and then I'll go through the things that I liked. Offensive play calling was situationally great, right? There's a lot of first down, second down throwing that seemed to work for them this game. But that works when you're averaging 10 yards a carry, right? That doesn't necessarily work against, we'll say, USF next week. We'll see. Now, I don't know if the broadcasters actually knew anything or not, but the broadcasters did seem to say that throwing on early downs was something that Army was looking, you know, Cody Worley was looking more to do more of this year. And I just remember leaving the Tarleton State game last year saying, why did we throw so much on first and second down in the fourth quarter? That's why we lost this game. Or one of the huge reasons why we lost this game. So that does kind of concern me. I don't want to get wrapped up where we're losing two or three drives a game because we just try to throw on first down and then we can't make we get a punt. But I also don't trust the broadcasters, so it's sort of a wait and see. Your thoughts on that, Dan?
If you run midline option, some element of the midline option on first down, every down, then they're going to clock the middle in the first down, and then they're going to be looking for the pass on second and eight.
So, Agreed. You know,
I would like to see them throw shorter, safer throws on first down and not necessarily throw to the slots 40 yards down the field, but I don't know if that's coming. Like, they want to be a super efficient passing team, which unfortunately means that they're just not looking to throw those 10 yard outs to the tight ends, which I don't love. Like, I think that's not, I think that that's a mistake, but we saw some shorter passes.
We did. And in the first drive of the game, there was a first down pass. I think it was a 7 yard pass to a slot.
Yeah.
I forget who it was, but yeah, I mean, there was effective short passing. I'm talking more of third and fourth drive of the game where you see some of these bombs on first down. I don't love that. Now, when you're playing Bryant, when you're playing Bryant and you want to air it out, I totally get that. I just don't want to necessarily see that going forward against a high quality opponent.
I will say, Cale Helm said after the game, you know, Coach Munkin talked about this, that he really didn't want to turn the ball over. So he was leading those guys a lot, which I think is fine, but those slots are not tall enough to make some of those catches that where he was putting the ball. And right. if they're going to throw that, they should throw one of the wide receivers out there who's actually got the height to bring that in.
Right. And when you're in a tight game against, say, USF next week, you might need to put one of those on target. And then it's a different situation.
For sure.
Absolutely. So, all right. And I'll go through the things that I like real quick and I'll kick it over to Dan for his thoughts. Ability to get to the perimeter. We'll talk about this a little bit later. I got a game for us, which was going to be more fun when Rob was on the show. Now it's Dan playing against himself. maybe we'll solicit the Firsty Club for their guesses as well. So ability to get the ball to the perimeter consistently. The coaching staff comfortability with Luter and Washington at quarterback to run the freaking triple option. How many times have we seen backups come in and they run like maybe they run a double option or it's just called runs or whatever. These coaches trusted the backup and the three deep at quarterback to make reads and run the full option. Sometimes we get into game one of the season, they don't even trust the starter to do that.
That's right? True. Yeah.
So to see that comfortability was freaking awesome. Luter and Washington not only were trusted to make those reads, they made good reads all game, right? I think there was one time where Luter made the pitch a half a second too late, but he still made the pitch, and Army still picked up 7 yards on it. So
he got smoked. Yeah,
he got smoked. Yeah.
It's okay. He's allowed to get smoked off the pitch. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And then the last thing, or two more things. Defensive line dominated. We kind of talked about that. That was good to see. And then three shovel passes. I can't remember the last time we had a true shovel pass.
Is that a shovel pass? It looked like
I mean,
it's technically a pass, right?
Right. So in the past, they've run this play where the halfback comes around and goes between the tackles.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a handoff.
Yeah.
It's a handoff, right?
Right.
So, but now the quarterback's stepping back and he's throwing the ball forward 3 yards and the halfback's taking it and finding the hole. That allows you to do two things. Number one, it allows a lot more flexibility about where that pass is going to go towards which hole, depending on how the offensive line develops on the play. And number two, it gives the opportunity later in the season to fake shovel after you've already shoveled it and throw deep to a halfback. I can't wait to see that play.
So it did not look like 3 yards in the stance. It looked like it was a foot.
It was more than a foot. It wasn't quite 3 yards every time, but it was more than a foot.
Okay. You see that in the pros sometimes where it's like a handoff, but it's technically a pass because it's.
Yeah. No, there were times where Helms was actively, and it wasn't just Helms, but Helms was actively running away from the line and then shoveled it forward to the slot back.
Well, the good reason to do that is because if it goes on the ground, it's an incomplete pass.
That's true too. Not a fumble.
Yeah. So that's, I like that. And that's smart. And plus it's probably a little bit easier exchange because if I'm the back and I'm coming forward and the quarterback is making a read, I have no idea what he sees. So if the ball's in the air, then it's mine. If the ball's not in the air, then it's not mine. So that avoids some miscommunication probably.
There's also you could roll that into like a quarterback bootleg. There's so many things you can that's harder to do with a handoff.
All right, my turn now.
Yes.
So arguably my favorite thing about this game was and we're kind of nitpicking at this point, right? Because obviously the whole game's rad, but Bryson Luter came in for his first series and played with the ones. So he was getting snaps from Brady Small. He had the first team offense. He marched them right down the field. They didn't miss a step. Like, this was great. I think he did airmail one, he sent one pass high. But, he looked, as you said, he looked good running the triple option, running the ball. And with the starters in there, like, he looked like he could do the job. And I thought it was cool that they put him in there with the starters, because if my man has to play, he ain't going in there with the twos. Like, that's only in mop-up duty. So I thought that was a good idea. And then the next series is the one where they struggled, and wound up punting. And that's because that's when all the twos were out there against Bryant's starters. So I wasn't surprised that, first time you get all these guys who, aren't necessarily playing together all the time to come in and play together, and it takes them a series to get going. Like, that's okay. Glad we got it done.
Here's a real question. If you're Bryant's head coach, right? And I don't mean this particular team, or just you're the head coach of an FCS program.
Yes.
That's playing Army in week one.
Yes.
You, as a lower middle FCS program, have a lot of games you're worried about winning this year.
Yeah.
Stopping everything or spending significant fall camp time to prep for the triple option probably isn't high on your priority list, right?
Like, I mean, unless you're Tarleton State and you want to make a point that you're ready to move up to the
correct. That's true. And Tarleton State is not a middling FCS program,
yes,
right? They're a top tier FCS program. So that made it, I think, to the semis last year, semis or quarters?
I don't know. They played very well. Yeah.
Right. So part of this is, there seem to be some missed assignments on the Bryant defense. things like that that we're not necessarily going to see from our conference opponents this year.
You might see those next week. That's another story.
You might. Yeah, we'll get into that. But generally speaking, you're not going to be gifted as many misreads as you will against a team that isn't incentivized in the same way to prepare for the option.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Let's go into fact or fiction.
Wait, one more thing. Oh, you were talking about the linebackers playing at the beginning.
Yes.
Let's just recall that we had a yearling starting at middle linebacker and a freaking plebe, Deion Miller, internet sensation Deion Miller, who had arguably AFF's most viewed thing ever on Instagram last week in his little 90-second interview, almost 5,000 views, was on the two deep and played a lot and made 5 tackles. So I'm not shocked that those guys came in and needed a series before they sort of got calmed down enough to make the right plays. The fact that Bryant, who ran for 200 yards last week and is not a terrible running team, even if they're not a great team, couldn't run a lick, I thought was pretty encouraging.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's get to fact or fiction review. AI slop for this one, or is that
no? Okay. First off, that's not even AI slop. That's
no, that one's legit.
Yeah.
All right, Dan says.
Listen. It's friends. We are using AI in place of clip art. So yes, I think it's superior to clip art, but it's probably emotionally the same. So take it for what it's worth.
It's high tech clip art.
High tech clip art. It really
there
is.
There you go. Dan said that Kale Helms does not lead Army in total carries this weekend.
Everybody said it's crazy.
Everyone said you were crazy, and you were. Not necessarily for the right reasons, but God's power leads the
all
carriers. Yeah. I said Army scores multiple TDs, not rushing. You and I said fact. Mike said no, they didn't score a single touchdown, not rushing.
Correct.
Rob, not for lack of trying. Rob says Army has greater than 170-yard rusher. That was true. Mundell was our triple-digit rusher, and Helms also said that. That was fact agreement. Mike Davis from the First U Club said Army scores a touchdown from a player and not a quarterback or be back. There were three touchdowns from players like that. Mundell scored 2 and Brady Anderson scored 1.
Yeah. Brady Anderson with the rare wide receiver carry in the Army offense.
The double reverse sweep. speaking of scoring, Dan, can you tell us how you can score an awesome mortgage?
What an incredible segue. Friends, this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane, mortgage broker, area sales manager from the Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Craig is going to offer you the best deal he possibly can, give you super competitive rates, and really also 5-star service. And guys, the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates are moving all over the place. You're trying to get your house appraised, trying to figure out when you want to lock in rates. Like it's very stressful, and you want to deal with somebody that you can call on the phone and ask when you got questions, somebody who cares about you, who sees you as a person and not just as dollar signs. And this is how the West Point network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we are trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that you can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. So get that money, guys. Save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. His link is on our website. So is Jocelyn's, and so is Greg Iannicelli's. They all have these business cards. You go on there, click them out, click those business cards, fill out a little survey. You'll be talking to Jocelyn or Craig or Greg in hours, days. You know, sort of depends on the service, but they're pretty good about it. And I'm telling you, help us, help you, help us, help you.
All right. You ready to play a game, Dan?
I gotta find this. No, this one's also not AI slop because I made this one myself. Although okay. Rob has a new one. We just don't have it loaded up, but here you go.
Shall we play a game?
All right. So we know that Army passed 14 times. Resulted in 79 yards of the runs. And I did not include the 1 yard loss of a kneel down at the end of the game.
Okay.
So 570 yards worth of offense.
Okay.
offense. What percentage of those plays, and there were 58 rushing plays.
Okay.
What percentage of those plays do you think the rusher crossed through the line of scrimmage between the tackles?
The 70% between the tackles, 55%. I think there's more off tackle. Like, I know Cale Helms took several off tackle, so I'm going to say 55%.
Firstie club members, I'm going to ask Dan a second question. Go ahead, feel free to answer that one while I'm asking this one, and then you can give your answer for the next one as well. And then I'll give you the answers.
This is good. Get the peanut gallery involved here.
Yes. What percentage of yards came from between the tackles?
Oh, 25, 30%, just because there were so many breakaway plays. And even you know, like Helms took it on a keeper outside once and either scored or, you know, gained 40 yards. I mean, God's power might have had one run off tackle go for 40 yards. I mean, it was just everybody was just bombs away. Yeah, Matthew Scrimmage says 30%. I think that's about right.
Okay. First of all, I'll give you a hint. There were only three carries all game between the tackles of greater than 10 yards.
Okay.
The first play of the game, God's power took for 12 yards.
Okay.
There was the Cale Helms touchdown, which
yeah.
The tackles, and he broke he broke out to the outside, but went through the tackles for 27 yards. And then later in the game, there was a 17 yard game between the tackles that was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Interesting.
On the outside, we had a 15 yard touchdown. That was the Mundell touchdown. We had a 12 yard run, a 37 yard touchdown, a 14 yard run, a 30 yard touchdown, a 20 yard run, a 23 yard run, a 21 yard run, a 20 yard run, a 66 yard touchdown, an 18 yard run, a 28 yard run, a 10, a 13, a 15, a 12, and a 27. 55% of the plays were run between the tackles.
Oh, I was right.
Yes. Okay. 30% of the yards came between the tackles. Exactly.
That sounds about right. I mean, especially for this game. If you are Bryant and you watched Army play last year, what would you do?
Sell out between the tackles. Yeah.
They started off spying the quarterback between the tackles, which I thought was the right plan.
I think this opens up the ability for Army to use its three fullbacks to smash mouth USF next week because they're worried about the perimeter.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about that. I have a theory.
Right. Okay. Well, good job to Dan and the peanut gallery, within 2%. Impressive. So let's get into the South Florida preview. Head coach Brian Hartline is in his first year at Tampa. He spent nine years at Ohio State, former wide receivers coach, and then a few years as the offensive coordinator. He was the offensive coordinator before Chip Kelly got there. Chip Kelly came in for a year. He was the co-OC, and then he was the OC again. I think he's headed to USF for basically most of the big programs right now, I think, generally want another Kurt Cignetti. They want to take somebody who's a good coach but a great program runner and then install them at the big levels. And the problem with Brian Hartline is that he's never been a head coach. So I think Brian Hartline is very capable of going and taking over a middling Big Ten or SEC program and turning it into a powerhouse. But he's got to prove that he can do the program running side of it first. So he goes to South Florida.
I mean, you're going to hire a guy. I mean, listen, this seems like a decent fit. No argument there, but it's a very different job to design and control the offense, recruit guys and all that stuff than to be the head coach and coach the coaches.
Right. Now he's got five first round draft picks as wide receivers. So he's coached a lot of really great talent. He's going down to a recruiting hotbed now in Florida. So I think he can do a lot of good there. But this is year one and he's got a lot of things to contend with in year one as most new head coaches do in the modern college football. In the first game, USF survives Florida International Pitbull U, if you will, 19-9. They got outgained by more than 170 yards in the game. This one basically came down to three turnovers on the final three drives of the game for FIU. without those three turnovers, I believe it was tied before.
No, they were down three. FIU had the ball down three driving, and their quarterback just it wasn't I don't know if it was his fault. It was a terrible call because they called a quick out and the DB jumped the route, and you can't throw it when the DB is up on the line like that. That was stupid. So yeah.
Yeah. They force those turnovers. They get a late touchdown, seal the win. Not a great performance. You know, you're at home in Ray J, 41,000 fans, and you win by 10 points. I think they were only favored to win by 13.5. I think that was the line. And they end up winning by 10, but not exactly what you want for your brand new head coach at South Florida when South Florida sort of made waves in the American last year. You want to talk about their offense, Dan?
Yeah, quarterback Michael Van Buren is obviously a transfer, played at Mississippi State in 2024. Excuse me, played at LSU in 2025. 11 of 18 passing for a whopping 100 yards last week. That's 61%. I mean, definition of a game manager. I say that not trying to take anything away from the guy. He obviously did what they asked him to do. He also had 7 carries for 7 yards with a sack. So I don't know. I think that sack was like 4 yards. But at any rate, the dude was not out there running. Two running backs, Jason Collins and DJ Crowther, they ran the ball a lot. So 38 carries for 108 yards, 2.8 yards per carry, 1 rushing touchdown. 38 carries is actually a lot. That's committing to the running game. I kind of assumed that these guys were trying to, I don't know what I assumed, but that's a lot of carries to not gain a lot of yards. They definitely have some players. Like, they got some really high power transfers on this team, but that downfield passing game did not hit yet. And their longest drive of the night, you pointed this out, went just 39 yards for a field goal, which would concern me if I was a USF fan. I would be concerned because I do not think FIU has like a doomsday defense. Maybe we'll learn that that's not correct, and maybe they are that good, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, on defense, I wouldn't take a lot from the FIU game, right? FIU threw for 301 yards.
Yeah.
Army's not going to be doing that, at least I hope not. They kept FIU to 80 yards and 25 carries, but I don't know how much that matters in an offense that's completely aimed at getting the ball downfield through the air. I'm not going to get into too many of the specific players and stats here, but I will say this, and you can read this in this week's preview article coming out in a couple of days. Their offense, so the 11 starters that Army should see on their offense, two of them transferred in from the University of Florida. One transferred in from Rutgers. One transferred in from West Virginia. One transferred in from Norfolk State. One transferred in from Kansas State, who played against Army last year. And then 5 came from the USF program. Of the 5 that came from the USF program, only 2 of them have ever started a game for USF. One of them has started 5 games split over the last 2 years. And then one of them has started 23 games. So basically they have a singular player who's done significant starting time at South Florida who's returning to the team.
Yeah. So this is defense. You said offense, just to be clear.
This is defense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's also concerning, right? Because you got a bunch of guys who are essentially strangers.
Right. They're strangers and they just had their first game together. They did all right. Right. They did okay. They created some turnovers. They only scored nine points on defense. Right.
I mean, the defense certainly won the game.
They gave up 380 yards, which you don't generally do in a win, but they made it important enough. And they generated turnovers, and that was really the big reason why they won this game, right? Well, now they got to play against Army. They got to work together playing assignment defense in their second game together. They've played 60 minutes together. Now they got to play assignment defense against a triple option team. They have to – they are likely not going to be able to generate turnovers. They might get Army mistakes, but they're generally not going to be able to generate turnovers the way they did against FIU. How does that look for a brand new team? I mean, this is the problem with modern college football, right? This is why Notre Dame can lose to Northern Illinois in week 2 and then go to the national championship game, because Notre Dame's got a ton of transfers that don't know how to play together yet. Right. Yep. And NIU had a senior laden squad that knew how to play together. So I think that's one of the big storylines going into this week. You know, how does their defense look at making reads when Army's running the ball well? What do you have any thoughts on defense, Dan?
I mean, I would also like to point out that FIU's O-line pushed that defense back physically. Beyond everything that you just said, they also got good push. And I'm going to say that Brady Small is a better center than FIU has. And Army's guards are better guards than FIU had. And probably at least Army's right tackle probably better than FIU's right tackle. I don't know about the left tackle. But
I think Coach Monkey would tell you to shut up right about now. But,
I mean, it is what it is. You know, right. If you watched, I went back and I watched the CBS condensed game, and I was trying to take a page out of Rob's playbook and watch Brady Small, and he looked bored. Like he would chuck his guy, come up and be ready to hit the next level, and the Bryant defenders were just already on the ground.
So I went down a loophole looking for that old Jake Randina tweet that I retweeted again with the every descriptor of what a perfect fullback is. Jake Randina.
Does. I saw that. Yep.
Well, when I was searching for that, I searched Jake Randina on Twitter, and there's a video of Jake Randina in high school as a fullback, just absolutely laying down a pancake block on a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
And it was one of the, like, that's how it felt watching Brady Small. So
yeah, he would move his dude out of the way, come up, and whichever the way the play was going, he would shield off the rest of the defense. That was every play.
Right.
It was crazy.
On special teams, South Florida comes in with Nico Gramatica. Can never have a John Smith on special teams.
Come on. You know who his father is, right?
Nico Gramatica? No.
Yeah. No, no. God, I don't remember his first name. But yeah, no, he's a legendary Hall of Fame NFL kicker. Yeah. Martin Gramatica. I think it's Martin.
This is what happens when you've been around long enough to have watched every NFL game. Nico is 4 for 4 on field goals with a long of 53 yards. I think his career long is 58.
Ray says Martin. Yeah, that's Martin good. Okay. Nico has a 60-yard field goal in him easily.
Right. I forget where he was. Maybe it was at SMU before this. He is a transfer. He had a 58 he had a 58 yarder against Miami. So that's interesting.
Why would you transfer from wherever the hell to USF?
Because wherever the hell has more money and can pay for a new kicker to come start above you.
Oh yeah. Okay. I don't think that's smart, but okay.
Punter or getting better value out of it. Punter Luke Goeder averaged 47 yards on 4 punts, and South Florida did not have a single punt or kick return at all last week. Lots of fair catches. Rolling to the weather and betting lines, weather should be about like it was last week. Upper 70s, sunny. Lined open at Army by a point in the hook, and it's settled around 3.5 now, so just over a field goal. Money keeps coming in on Army, so wouldn't be shocked to see it be 4 or 4.5 by game time. Over under opened very high at 54.5. Now it's down to 48.5. Lots of people are taking the under. I think that puts, if you do the math, Army at 26 points scored in this game, which I think is, given their performance last week and USF holding FIU to 9 points last week, that makes a good amount of sense. What are your thoughts?
If you want to bet a prop, bet USF under 21 points. I think that would actually be that prop makes a lot of sense. Whether win or lose, whatever, I think that prop makes a lot of sense. Because if they scored 19 on FIU and now they're coming to Mikey Stadium, like a lot of weird stuff can happen, but that prop is probably one of the better ones on the board.
All right. You got thoughts on the game?
We talked about a lot of this. So here it is. If you're USF and you watched last week's game, you're thinking, okay, these guys are going to make a point to try to push the fullback and they'll definitely burn us on the pitch. So they're going to sell out to stop God's power, and they're definitely going to keep those safeties out there to watch that pitch, which tells me that we're going to see a classic Cale Helms power attack this weekend. I don't want to step on myself, but that's – if I had to guess, I would guess that Cale Helms goes off, and then maybe we see some rebalancing.
Who was the – there was a quartet of fullbacks in 2017 and 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Davidson, Wolfuck, Slomka, and there is a third one. There's a fourth one.
I don't remember the fourth one, but I know I remember that. Yeah.
Because I think Slomka was number 4 out of 4 in terms of yards gained.
Well, it was third, and Slomka was what they used to say, right? He would come in for the short yardage.
Right.
He's your short yardage back. He was excellent.
I think we could see one of those games where it's just bring out the trio of God's Power, Smith, and Rendina, and let him go to work with Helms.
Did you see Rendina hit that kid last week? They gave him the ball. He got out in space, and the guy tried to tackle him, and he just hit him in that, just rammed him like a bull. It was incredible.
There's not a lot of inclination for self-preservation at the fullback position.
He had the guy by 50 pounds. I think he was okay.
Well, fair. All right. The only thing I'll... Well,
let's read Rob's note. He says it's a front seven matchup. Experienced O-line of Army versus USF's defense. You know, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Only other note that we haven't talked about that I'll add. So the defensive coordinator for South Florida is Josh Aldridge. He did do well against Army last year. He was East Carolina's defensive coordinator and held Army to 6 points. And he also faced Liberty. Also faced Army while he was at Liberty as a defensive line coach. So he has seen a lot of Army as a defensive line, as a defensive coach. The question is, okay, well, he didn't beat us at Liberty when he didn't have a lot of raw talent. He did beat us at ECU 1 year when he had a lot of raw talent the linebacker position.
Yeah.
And the defensive line. He had some Hawks that knew how to play assignment football and had played together for a while.
Yes.
And now he's got a lot of raw talent again, but he's got to teach him up on how to defend the triple. And to be honest,
That Liberty team was not bad. That defense from Liberty was not bad.
This was, I think, the first time we played Liberty at home.
Oh,
he was.
Oh my God, that was ugly. Time. Okay.
Yes, it was not Army's best game either. But we'll see how he does this time around. I do wonder how much of the result against FIU was a function of, okay, well, we're going to beat FIU even on our worst day, so we need to do a decent amount of option prep for week two, but we will see.
That occurred to me as well, but for your home opener, that's a crazy way to play it.
Yes, although not unheard of. I think that wraps it up for the preview. Article will come out soon, and we'll get keys to victory on Friday before the game kicks.
Let's go behind the curtain a little bit. You sent me the preview today. You want to put it out on Wednesday or Thursday? We've talked about this, but
if podcast becomes public on Wednesdays, we should do article Thursday. But since we're recording a day early this week, we can release everything a day early. That's fine with me.
I don't know if that was an answer, but okay, good.
No, I don't care. Look.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
All right. Apologies to everyone's ears. We'll have to figure out how to tone down that volume a little bit.
I actually splice it back in for the audio version.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, because when you... I realize no one cares about this but me, but when you run all the audio correction in async, which is what they renamed Podcastle AI to. So when you run all the audio corrections on it, it will take out all the craziness that's so loud. And so you basically have to drop it back in. So I re-put all the sound effects back in post.
At a normal volume. Well, good.
At a normal. Yes. Yes. So it's just for the people watching live are getting hurt.
All right. I will start off on Fact or Fiction this week. We see at least three players from Army take a snap.
I guess I'll take fact. I don't know if I believe that, but you're going to see Helms, and I believe that they'll run the Wildcat because they got a...
we got to figure out if that counts as Wildcat, by the way. If you take Peyton Manning and list him as a running back, and then all of a sudden he takes a snap, does that count as Wildcat?
But they were doing that with Kanye Udo. In 2023, they were doing that with, I believe, Kanye Udo, because what's his name? Captain America. Why can't I come up with his
name? Bryson Daly.
Thank you. Bryson Daly had just taken so many carries. They were trying to save wear and tear, and so they wanted to continue to run quarterback power. So they just brought in Udo and ran power with
him. I get it, but you know. Unlike Kanye Udo, I fully believe that God's Power could take the snap and then run an option pitch on the outside if he needed to.
It's true.
Like, he's probably fully capable as a quarterback because he was in the quarterback room for a year. I'm going to say fact as well. I do think that I think Jeff Munkin talked a big game before the Bryant game about regardless of score, we need to get all these guys into the game. And I think that's still true. He doesn't want, you know, a position where his quarterback goes down and his guys don't have any experience or any experience recently. So I think we're going to see some of the backup regardless. And then, yeah, I think we do see God's Power take some snaps as well. So I think those are it's fact agreement on that one. Dan, what do you have?
I said, and this just dovetails on what I said about the game, I think Helms finishes with a 150 rushing, 150 yards rushing.
Okay.
Which would be, I don't know if that would be a career day, but it would be a hell of a lot of yards.
I'll go fact on that. I think we're going to see a between the tackles game.
Yeah, I think so too. If you're USF and you watched Bryant get absolutely torched on the outside, you got to be thinking, well, we can't let that happen to us or we'll definitely die.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then Firsty Club, if you guys want to offer one while we do Rob's, that would be great. Rob's is Army gets a turnover and two sacks this weekend.
I'm going to say no. I'll say fiction. That's a lot. We didn't see that last week.
Yeah. And last week, I mean, Army have multiple sacks last week? I think they only had
They had six.
Seven sacks. TFLs or something. But
yeah, six tackles for loss, two sacks.
Okay. That and last week FIU didn't give up that. I think they gave up one sack and zero turnovers. So I'm going to say fiction as well.
Yeah, it's. I think they might see some sacks. I didn't see USF putting the ball in jeopardy. Maybe they take more chances if they fall behind this week, which might create some craziness. But like they were even struggling to get down in the red zone last week. I think they might struggle to get in the red zone again this week. That offense just doesn't look right yet.
Right.
They'll probably get it turned around, but I don't think they're going to get it turned around this week. So,
all right. The Firsty Club says that special teams finally gets their big play, a block, a return, something like that. I don't know. I mean, I would think there were two returns last week that I would call a big play. I mean, it was a 20 something yard return from Benson on that first punt.
They had a couple of decent ones. Both guys had 20 plus yard returns.
Right. So, I mean, if you mean by tucked, I'm assuming
he means a blocked kick,
like a blocked kick, or he said a return. So a block kick or a return for a touchdown.
Yeah. Matt, tell us how far the return has to go for this to count.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, James. You can talk while he tries.
I'm going to go pending Matt's determination. I'm going to go fiction just because I'm playing the odds. I mean, there was that one season Army had like seven blocked kicks, but that was such an anomaly.
They were close this week, but they weren't that close. Oh, he says TD. Yeah, I'm going to say fiction. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to say fiction as well. That just doesn't happen very often. All right. Well, I'm scared. We've agreed on all of them, Dan.
You know, would you rather be confident or not confident?
As a sports fan, lack of confidence is a recipe for happiness.
I guess that's true.
All right, let's get into the mailbag.
You've got mail.
Sir Poppy Seed says, is Navy going to screw all the G6 teams by making the playoff and getting blown out? I don't know what you've been watching in college football for the last – how long has the playoff been around?
A couple years.
Yeah, this is a common occurrence. I don't care who it is. Whether or not a G6 team belongs has nothing to do with whether or not they get blowout. And if the P4 –
P4 also gets plenty of blowouts. So.
Right. And if the P4 is going to kick out the G6 and claim that it's a blowout that did it, like they're just being dishonest. They're kicking out the G6 for money, and it has nothing to do with performance.
Can I just go on record by saying that I do not think Navy is going to win the American Conference. They looked good against starts with a T. Help me.
Towson.
Thank you. Lacrosse powerhouse Towson. Navy looked good against them, but they did not look great. And I think they are extremely dependent on that quarterback staying healthy.
This year it changes because of how Duke because Miami, Duke got in over Miami on the tiebreaker last year.
Yeah.
And then Duke beat Virginia.
Yes.
The ACC was going to get left out until they decided to screw over Notre Dame instead.
Yes.
I was fine with that. The fallout from that was that, regardless of how you feel about it, the fallout now is this year is that you do not need to be, it's no longer the top six conference, the top five conference champions that go plus the rest. It is the top, it is the power four conference champions, full stop.
Okay.
Plus the best group of six team, not champion. The highest
ranked team
gets into the playoff.
That's god awful.
So you don't need to win your conference to go.
That's god awful. I don't even agree that you don't need to. I mean, you should anyway. That's terrible.
I agree. I'm just the messenger here. That's the rule this year.
Anyway, I don't think Navy's going to be in that conversation. I think they have a good team. Guys in the Firstie Club were saying that they looked a lot like Army last year, this year, and I think that that's true. I mean, I just, you know, they got.
I think that's quite the thing to say about a team that beat their FCS opponent. But okay.
Is Towson going to go to the FCS playoffs?
I don't know, but they didn't even almost lose. They also rushed for 500 yards.
All right. I mean, how much of that was the quarterback was kind of my point, but
yeah. All right. James Pagano says, is the Zach Mundell performance against Bryant legitimate, a sign of a breakout season or a flash in the pan? I would just say this. How often do you see a slot back rush for 100 yards? Very rare. It does happen, right? Tyler Robinson's of the world did it on occasion, but Tyler Robinson was like the guy at slot back, right? He was like his sophomore season. Everyone thought he was going to go leave West Point and go elsewhere because he was such a great slot back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I bet you he had 200 yard performances that year. And I think one of them was against Air Force. Maybe not even Air Force, but the point is, you have to be careful how you measure slot back performance, a back performance, because it's a little bit different. Mundell, I think, can be a very effective threat on the perimeter. Each game you're going to be dealt a different, you know, stack of cards, and depending on your hand, you might have to go to the outside more or less. And so Mundell might have two carries for 13 yards, and that's all that we needed to keep it going between the tackles, and that's what we needed for Mundell that game. So, I think he can be effective, yes. Whether we're going to see this sort of production regularly, I kind of doubt.
Yeah, I think he's a good player. Yeah, but is he going to break off a 60-yard run every game? Probably not. It'd be awesome if he did, but I don't think I'd bet on it.
Yeah. Mike Davis asks, how much do you think the opening of the playbook, like these true triple option plays, reverses, wildcat, is a product of the quality offensive players' growth and the system versus trying them out because they were playing an opponent of Bryant's caliber? I kind of say none of the above.
Yeah.
They tried a lot of new.
I disagree with the premise. I don't think they opened the playbook at all. They ran that reverse solely to put that thing on tape so that everybody for the rest of the season would have to
watch. The two things that they did that were new were that wide receiver reverse and then the shovel passes.
Yeah.
And I think those, for nothing else, either for, as Dan said, for forcing other people to prep for it, or for, well, we've never done this before, is this something that can work, right? And it doesn't have anything to do with, I mean, it does take a certain level of the offense being comfortable enough with the system that you can do those sorts of things, but it's more a chance to test things that you want to test that you haven't done before, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do think that they let those quarterbacks make those reads because they trust the quarterbacks to make the reads. Mm-hmm. And that's a sign of, you know, there's a lot going on there that they're willing to let them do that. But right. I disagree that they opened up the playbook. Opening up the playbook would be, you know, Tex catching two touchdowns or, you know, throwing 15 times. I guess they did throw a decent amount, but none of that was weird. They ran the one reverse. Even that is not that weird if in a triple option scheme.
No. Do you think that their willingness to let their backups make reads is primarily, and the answer is probably both, but primarily a function of their comfortability with the quarterback's skills or a change in the mindset of the coaching staff?
Can I take a do out on that and get back to you in a couple of weeks?
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, we don't know what they called in the huddle. I will say I didn't notice them running any true midline triples, which they definitely ran in 2024, especially at the start of the season. So the option plays that they ran, I don't know if they even ran the true triple, but the option plays that they ran all looked like they were more or less designed that like everybody expected that pitch to get out there, maybe with a couple of exceptions. And that midline triple looks a little different. And I don't think we saw that true midline triple at all. So,
yeah. Corey asks, now that the East Dance project is complete, if you were the AD, what's the next major physical investment you would make to put Army football program in a better long-term position? I think they've announced this when they announced the USAA center or the USAA deal. They're going to move ODIA from, you know, the hill behind the Thirsty Club up to a facility in the southeast end zone between the Kimsey Center and the new stands. They're going to put a building there, and that's where the athletic offices will be, that sort of thing.
It makes sense as a place to put a building, but it's almost a shame because it's one of the last places you can see Lusk from the stands.
Right.
But it does make sense, right? You're just going to close in the horseshoe.
Right. And then I think you'll basically be able to get, I don't know if they're going to build a sky bridge from that building to the new stands. I imagine that they would, but that leaves an ability for you to walk from the new stands effectively all the way to the hockey arena without going outside, which is kind of neat. All right. You know what else is neat? Our good friend, Greg. Dan, you want to tell us about him?
Attention, Army football faithful. This message is brought to you by Warriors Physique Fitness. Big news, Greg Iannoselli and Warriors Physique Fitness have officially signed an exclusive partnership agreement with Eminent Nutrition and the Casey Train community, a team of other elite athletes and fitness coaches built on one mission, health and longevity first. Built by athletes, for athletes, with no athlete left behind. And since we're on Army football, veterans and West Point alumni get an exclusive military discount. Take out the guesswork and book your free 25-minute consultation online for online nutrition and fitness coaching at warriorsphysiquefitness.com and become the warrior that God created you to be. Warriors Physique Fitness, the official partner of the Casey Train community, veterans and West Point alumni get a military discount, free 25-minute consult at warriorsphysiquefitness.com. Again, if you can't remember Warriors Physique Fitness because you're just not that smart, go to askforfootball.com and click on his business card. I updated it literally today, and you can see what a national championship physique looks like because Greg is on there flexing, and believe me, he is a super impressive physique, so it is cool.
All right. You got a favorite thing this week, Dan?
Yeah. So we're up in the stands or we're up in the lots tailgating, and Gabby, who graduated last year and is now on her way to Stanford to do some kind of, floopy scholarship thing for her master's program. And Preston, who is a current firstie, pull out their rings, and they have the same ring that I do. And it was interesting because there are three of these, right? Me and my buddy Matt and my other buddy Dave all got Aquamarines in our rings together as a set, you know, like three rings. And so now there are five of these rings. And I thought that was cool that tradition sort of continued within our circle. So, it was cool. There's a picture of that, if you want to see it, Saul flexing on the Quick Thoughts article.
Is that a swim team thing?
No. No, Dave is on the team, but Matt was my roommate. We were just friends. And we were just down there and we were like, let's get the same ring. And we totally did. And, you know, 30 years later, it's like, yeah, there are three of these rings. And yeah, so
nice. I went with the standard. I went black onyx with the diamond.
Yeah.
All right. Well, firsties, let us know what you guys got. Congrats to all those firsties on ring weekend. And I think that's it. Beat the Bulls.
Beat them.
That'll do it for this edition of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to everyone riding with us each week as we break down the Black Knights, the season, and everything that makes Army football special.
Jocelyn Bradley, real estate. Whether you're buying, selling, relocating, or just trying to figure out your next move, Jocelyn Bradley is ready to help you